This morning, we're in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. And as you're turning there, Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, there are also some parallel passages that you'll see in the Gospels. As is the case with much of what transpires in the Gospels, you'll find it in the other Gospels. And maybe if you're in the Tuesday morning or Wednesday evening study, you're discovering that for the first time, and maybe you're learning about some of that. And it's a powerful thing to have and to know, and it'll strengthen and solidify our faith, and it will also allow us to understand how credible and it validates all that the testimonies of Scripture put forth. Amen? And it is truth, as they were recorded under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So we're in Mark chapter 6, and if you would read with me, verses 7 to 13, and Jesus has just preached at Nazareth, right, his hometown, as we would put it there, his home, and he goes and he's rejected. And so in verse 7, the Scripture says this, and he called his 12 disciples together, and he began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, or a staff, your translation might say. No food, no traveler's bag. And by the way, the traveler's bag that we can think of is not only just a bag that might have had some items in it, but it's also thought that it could be a bag that was also used to collect things when you're asking for help. There is some connotation there historically as well. You can do some research. It's very interesting, actually. No money. Don't take any money with you. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. Now, don't make a doctrine out of this and say that you're not a Christian unless you wear sandals, all right? Some of you would like that, but that's not what Jesus is getting at here, all right? Verse 10, wherever you go, he said, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from the soles of your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. So the disciples went out, and they, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God, they were preaching the gospel. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. Praise the Lord. It's the word of God. I think that if, I don't even want to title this message because I can think of multiple ones. But let me just start with this. You know, one of the things that when I walk in the back of my house from time to time, especially after it rains, and I'm sure you've seen this too, is that you will notice certain tracks in the mud or the soft ground, right, Wayne? Even in your yard, you'll see them. You'll see, I didn't see the bear tracks that we saw 2 weeks ago in our neighbor's yard, but I actually saw a bear next door. That was crazy, right? But I didn't see the tracks in our backyard, so thank God. But I'll see tracks. I've seen turkey imprints in the ground. I've seen others. I don't know exactly what they were. I'm sure I've seen raccoons and other animals that have gone through. But I've seen tracks. Some deer, of course, with those you can tell the deer, right? But they're important because tracks tell us things. They tell us multiple things, in fact. They tell us who was in the area. Yes? They tell, in many cases, where they may have come from, right? And it also tells us where they're going. Where that creature is heading or is going. And you can tell, because if you observe and you watch, you can tell the direction of the hooves of the deer. Well, they were coming this way and they're going that way. You can tell. It's very easy to do if you're just observant. Amen? Keep in mind, as we kind of go through this morning in the next few minutes, keep in mind that footprints don't just have to be physical ones. Did you know, as we discussed, and this came to mind because this came up in a comment I made last Sunday in our connection group in Psalm 119. But did you know that you leave a digital footprint every day? You're leaving a footprint. What did you search? How long did you search it? Where did you give? How much did you give? What are you listening to? How long have you listened to? There is a footprint, and those who know how to find it will find it, and they will learn things about you. Just a little tidbit there. It's true. You leave a digital footprint. Now listen, that's amazing because of all the technology and the media that we have right today. But it can be used for the sake of the gospel if we just are wise about the footprints that we leave. Got to be careful about that. What clues do our footprints, or do mine, do your footprints give about your message and where you have taken it? Whatever that message might be. What have they done? What have the footprints said? What have they declared? You know, our text here that we read is all about Jesus and his disciples. In fact, most of his ministry was about that, training them up and then reaching out to those and demonstrating that he was God in the flesh and preaching the kingdom and telling people how to live right and to come into relationship with God the Father through Jesus, of course, and to repent because God's kingdom was there. And Jesus authorizes the disciples to go and to preach and to do miracles. Amen? He does that here. It's in the Bible, and it's found in the other Gospels as well. And I happen to see something here, and I observe something here that I believe is a point that must be noticed by us, and it has to do with feet. It has everything to do with feet. It's all about our feet. Without feet, we wouldn't be able to stand. You can get prosthetic ones, you can get artificial, right? But you need feet to stand. It's really important. And standing is great. And there's a place in our lives where we need to stand. When even the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that we should stand and stand firm. Of course, that's our faith. That's our faith imprint and our faith footprint. That we stand there and we dig in with truth and we don't buckle and we resist the enemy and we stand on that truth, right? And you don't cave and you don't give in. You dig in, right? You better have good shoes for that. And we're going to find out what those shoes are, right? But we need to make sure that we're standing strong in those situations. But ultimately, when there are those times in our lives where we have to dig in and stand and hold ground, there's many of them, more often than not, God's plan and design for us physically, even with feet, is that we would be moving. Our feet were not designed or created for us just to stand. We all know what happens, even though God has given us feet, right? That when we just stay sitting in the couch all day, what happens to our legs, not to mention our feet? They get weak. They atrophy, and things don't go well. And then life doesn't go the way it's supposed to, that God intends and wants for us. And we cut ourselves short of the abundance that we can experience for the gospel's sake and for God's glory. Feet are for moving, right? They're for moving. Walking, running, kicking, hopefully not kicking people, but kicking, swimming, climbing, and you can name whatever activity is, but you need to use your feet so often for a lot of these things. And how many will tell? And when you have Dave, when you can't use your foot because of surgery, how it limits you. And there are others, unfortunately, because of health reasons or age. We understand that. Grace, you know that as well. I'm just happening to look at you. And we a lot of us know that. It limits you. But your feet and your legs are so important, but your feet specifically. You need to use your feet. In the same way, Jesus' command to his disciples and to us is to move. To move, to go. To get out, to put our feet to the pavement and get out, to carry the gospel everywhere. It cannot be carried without feet. Whether they're physical or whether they're digital, they've got to be moving and going out. I find Jesus' instruction in our text very interesting. If a place doesn't listen or accept the gospel message, he says to shake off the dust from your feet, and when you leave them, it's going to be a testimony against them. Now, let me just share a couple of observations here with just three key words. The first key word is go, right? When you look at this, go. The concept, it's go. Disciples were sent. If you are sent, you don't stay. Is that clear? End of story. If you're sent, you go. You go and you go to the towns with a message. And he had given them the message of the kingdom of God. And it was the same message that he had taught them that they had heard and that they had been with him. And early on in his ministry, he already sends them out and gives them these practice runs, if you will. They were real, but he sends them out, the 12. And he sends them out to share, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Repent because the kingdom of God is here. Change your ways and turn to God. That was the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. And when you repent and you turn, it's good and there's everlasting life and you're restored to your God the Father. And that's what Jesus is preaching. Turn back to God. And they're preaching this message. And so it's about going. And I see another word, simplicity. I see simplicity. It doesn't matter. I'm going to say this twice. It doesn't matter what you have for your walk of proclamation. It matters more what you leave behind. I'm going to say that again, and it'll make sense to you as we go through. It doesn't matter what you have for your walk of proclamation in the mission to share the message. It matters more what you leave behind. Don't take money. Don't take a bag. Don't even take food. Don't make a doctrine out of this either, by the way. Take a pair of sandals, but not two coats. Now, I think that's important what Jesus is saying here. The idea of sandals, and we know people wear them and flip-flops and so on and so forth. But in that time, sandals were what everyone wore, right? And the amazing thing is they don't have paved roads and concrete sidewalks and whatever. It's all dusty, gravelly, sandy, really dirty roads, and they're walking with sandals. And your feet, they don't stay clean. They get dirty when you're walking with sandals everywhere you go. All you need to know is that when I go to the beach, at least, and I walk on that sand at East Matunuck Beach, and I had my sandals, I take them off, I walk barefoot, I put them back on, even with them on, I come home and the bottoms of my feet are really dirty. They get dirty because of the exposure to the roads and the dirt. You don't need the weight of materialism, is what Jesus is saying here. It'll slow you down, all the material things that you have. And the more you have, the more you worry, the more you're consumed with it and concerned. And he says, don't worry about material things. It's going to slow you down. Don't spend time and money on shoes and coats if you're not going to use them. You know, manufacturers and designers have come up with amazing things, especially like with runners and with hiking and all these different, even football. The way that the cleats used to be back in the day versus what they are now, they weigh just ounces what these athletes wear today. It's all because you want as little weight on you as possible and still to be as cutting edge and as efficient to do the task, to cut into that soft turf and then turn and take off and make your move, whatever that is, if you're playing offense or defense. But you don't want that hindering you. And so Jesus, I think, is pointing to that. It's easier to move around when you have lighter or less equipment. And there are at least two reasons for this command to go in this simplicity. Because it points to the fact that when we go and Jesus sends us out, we first trust God for everything we need. Because he said he's with us and he will give us everything we need. And he's given us the message, the gospel, the good news. And he's given us his Holy Spirit. And he's given us his word, so we have everything we need. And secondly, the second reason for this command of simplicity is because the mission is urgent. There's an urgency. The more stuff you have to worry about, the more stuff you got to get in order, the longer it is to get your footing and get going to do the mission. Pack light, live light, and you'll be ready to go and move as fast as lightning when God tells you to. We get so tied in to the material things. We get so tied in to the production of things. And what I mean by that is that we don't have the right equipment. So I can't possibly, how am I going to possibly go and sing at the Power Rescue Mission, you know, if we have no music sheets, if we have no super skilled musicians, although they're skilled. We don't have any sound equipment. None of that matters because God's given us a voice and he's given us feet to go. It's as simple as it gets. But we complicate it. Oh, you know what? I don't think it's going to be effective without, you know, this or that. No, you go. You go and do it and God will take care of the rest. It's his word and it's his message. And there's simplicity. So go. Go simply. And thirdly, there's a really important thing here. There's a history involved here. There's a history. To the Jewish people, and I'm giving you this in like 2 minutes. to the Jews or to the Jewish people, heathen dust, or those who did not believe in one God, or those who are outside of the Jewish nation or the people, it was defiling. So whenever they went into a town or a village that was not Jewish, they came back and they stomped their feet because it was defiling. It made them unclean, if you will. But even more, what's happening here, to add to that, the shaking off of the dust that Jesus was saying, if the message is not received, was basically saying, and in symbolic of saying, since you reject the gospel, you're on your own. You're on your own. Do you know what I thought of, and maybe you think of right now? I think of when Pilate was with Jesus before the crowds and he washed his hands and he says, I see nothing wrong with this, God. I don't want to take any blame for this. I'm telling you, I don't see it. I'm good. You're on your own, in a sense. Yet he was still involved, obviously. But this is kind of what it's like. This is the idea that when you do that, you shake the dust off. Fine, you don't want to hear it? I'm moving on. It's okay. God will take care of it. It's on you. Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, by the way, in Luke chapter 9 and chapter 10, you have very similar stories, right? Or accounts, I should say, of what's happening here. But in Luke chapter 10, Jesus, in verses 13 to 15, he does this with Chorazin and Bethsaida, two towns. Then he said, because they rejected the gospel, that judgment was coming for them. They were on their own. Fine, you rejected it. I'm moving on. But you know what else is amazing? After Jesus moves on and carries on, and he did this with his own people, and he did this with Jerusalem, that he actually wept in Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. He wept over Jerusalem because his feet went there for years, preaching in and out, and they were unresponsive to his visit and to his message. And he laments and he weeps over it. His life wasn't over because of that. He wasn't so distraught that he couldn't function for anxiety and fear and emotion and lamenting. So he just wept because he knew the condition of his own people and their hearts, and they did not want to welcome him in. Why am I saying all this? How in the world does this apply to me? How does it apply to you today? I mean, wasn't this command given to the disciples? Wasn't it? Yeah, it was. We're disciples too, by the way. Isaiah 52:7 says this. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. I don't have to state the obvious, but I will. If you're not bringing good news, your feet are ugly. They're not good. They're not pleasing to God. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. Paul says to the Romans, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We love that part, right? Then Paul asks a question. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? Oh, but they already know the gospel. I know they grew up in a Christian. I knew that my neighbors, yeah, they their background, their grandparents, I know they're all fine. Have you delivered the message? Have you delivered the message? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? But I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. Because Paul said so. And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. All of the Bible, even going back to Isaiah, and Paul brings it up in Romans. You know what? Jesus sent out his disciples to go, to put their feet to the pavement and to go. He sent out his disciples in Luke 9 and in Mark chapter 6 here, parallel passages, two by two. And there were 12 of them. So how many pairs were there? Thank you, Mo. Six pairs went out. They went out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And they went and did the miracles and performed amazing things. And then if you go to Luke chapter 10, which is one chapter after 9, right? That's math. Which is a parallel passage that's after what happens in Mark 6 and Mark 9. Jesus then sends out more disciples and he sends out 72. How many pairs is that? 36. Oh, Dave beat you. 36 pairs. In one chapter, in a short amount of time, from such a small amount, 6 pairs to 36 pairs, going out with essentially the exact same mission. The exact same mission. You go. You don't just stay. You're with me, but I just want to stay here. I'm comfortable. My feet are clean. It's all good with you, Jesus. No, go and get your feet dirty. Go. And then, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we know the scripture, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, right? And there's 120 that are gathered in the upper room and they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of being empowered to go and to preach and to share the gospel. And then you stretch it out to the apostles in the book of Acts and then through history, we're in that number. We're in that number of those who are sent out because we've been with Jesus. We know his message. We know the gospel. And we've been commissioned and sent out. And we have the assurance of his presence with us. And we are sent out. And now there are millions and millions and millions of pairs or billions of individuals, hopefully, that are sent out to do this work of the gospel. We love chapter 6 of Ephesians. I referenced it earlier. We love to put on the armor of God. We reference it. We talk about it and everything else. And I think sometimes we forget about the shoes that are listed there. We forget about the shoes. In verse 15, the Bible says, "For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared." Fully prepared for what? Moving. Not only just standing firm, but moving. Going forward with the gospel. Another translation says, "Or for shoes, put on the readiness to preach the good news of peace with God." Put on those shoes. Let me ask you a question. What are your feet like? What do your shoes look like? Are they dirty? I don't mean physically. Mine are dirty too. Spiritually, how are your feet? Are they dirty? If they're dirty, you've been somewhere. You've been somewhere. Right? Does that make sense? Are they clean? I mean, are they clean, pristine? And you give yourself a pedicure every day and you're filing them and you're washing them and putting lotion on the heel. Right? Isn't that what you do, Ryan, to Jessica? Right? Yeah. He's like, yeah, absolutely. Right? Is that what your feet are like? Have you been sitting around at home? At home on Sunday here. So good. Keep my feet clean. It's not what shoes and feet are for. What kind of shoes are you wearing? Nice shoe, Dave. Sneakers? Boots? Sandals? What kind of shoes are you wearing? I'm fascinated. And you've probably been wondering what this is all about. Some people are all about the shoes, Ellen. She's getting a good view. People wear expensive. They wear expensive, task-specific shoes. But they do it for style and fashion. I'm going to spend $400 on the newest Nike high tops. Talk to my son about that stuff. and you're not even a basketball player. Ooh, I like how those amazing running shoes, the On running shoes, they're $250 a pair, but they look so nice and comfortable. And you never run. The furthest you walk is when you walk through the mall and the store, and that's it. And you want everyone to see that you spent that much money. And oh, they might be comfortable, but you're not running with them. I'm not telling you not to wear them. I'm just saying, what are you doing? Oh, and then don't get me going with the work boots. Put those on with your jeans. You're walking around and you're even walking like this because you're, you know, but you're not, they're clean. They're clean. And you've not lifted a finger for years. What are you doing? You're wearing your legs out with the weight of those boots, clunking around in them and doing nothing. That's what you're doing. Right? They're made for work. They're made for work, heavy duty work, and to get dirty. You know, I'll even go further because it's real and it's practical, and I'll make an application. There are some people, Cohen, who's not here, and others, they will keep their boxes with the new shoes. Because if one day you sell them again, they're worth more. Or some people even more, and I know some personally, they will buy the boxes and they have a closet full of boxes with the shoes that have never been touched because they're collectibles. And one day they hope in a few years that they might sell them for thousands of dollars, which, by the way, happens out there. But they bought these shoes, they're in the box, they've never been taken out. First of all, never used for their intended purpose, never even shown off, but you're just hoping you can collect them and one day make a profit. What does this all mean? We've been given shoes that we're supposed to, and the numeric, your feet shod with the gospel of peace, that you're put on, you're ready, they're covered, they're ready to go. There's the gospel of peace. Where are we going? What purpose do our feet serve? It's not to go have fun and fellowship and hang out and just do it. That's all good. It's part of the body of Christ. But our intended purpose for those shoes is to go and to tell people the gospel. But instead, some of us have decided that we want to keep the box nearby. And then we take them off, we put them on when we want, we take them off when we want, and then we keep them safe. And they do no good. And even worse, some of us have bought in, if you will, to it. But we never put them on, we leave them in the box, and we just save them for when we might want to use them, or maybe we can share it with somebody else one day in the future. It's just a collectible. God help us to not treat our footwear that way, especially our spiritual footwear. It blows my mind, again, when I see people wearing all these different kinds of shoes, and A, never use them, or use them for the wrong, with like, just to hang out in, or at least to show, or just to show. Our salvation, the gospel we have received, is not for show. It's not for show. It's for salvation. It's for salvation, the salvation of men. Let me ask you, what is your attitude toward this command? We all know the Great Commission. I'm not even going to recite it. In the end of Matthew chapter 28. Let me, what is your attitude? Are you crying about this? What I mean by that is, are you throwing a tantrum about God's command to preach and to share the gospel? Or are you even whining and crying and having a tantrum for the fact that nobody's listening? Stop it. Stop it. First of all, if your feet aren't dirty, you have no right to cry. You haven't even tried. Second, if you've gone and it hasn't been received, shake the dust off and move on. Can I give you evidence and proof of that? Acts chapter 13, 51. Now, this is after the day of Pentecost. Then the Jews, they stirred up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city. And they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas, and they ran them out of town. And look what it says. So they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection, and they went to the town of Iconium. Move on. Knock it off. Don't get hung up by someone who doesn't receive the message or doesn't leave it to God and move on. When are we going to learn that we're so hung up on this stuff? And then it hinders us from being effective, and our shoes are not properly used in the moment that we're in. Instead, we're thinking about, oh, back there. God's like, go to Iconium. Go to the next town. Go to the next person and just share the gospel and leave it to God. Amen? That's what we're called to do. God will do it. It's His word. Or, are you trying? What I mean is, are you trying, not just crying, but are you trying to use those shoes and to put them into action so there's effectiveness with the gospel? Are you moving on to the next village? And you know what's amazing? The very next verse, verse 52 at the end of chapter 13 of Acts, it says that when they moved on to the town of Iconium, it's there. I wish it was up here. You know what it says? What does it say? And they were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. I gave you the message. I'm going to the next place. And I'm psyched about it. I'm excited because it's still God's word and God will do whatever He's got to do with the people behind me. I'm going on. These feet are for moving. This is the gospel shoes and I'm going to share it. But nope. We stop there and we feel like we failed. No, you move on. Feet are for moving. Remember that? And our spiritual shoes are shoes of the gospel of peace. So where are you walking this morning? Where will you go? We all have different styles. We're wearing different shoes. And it's okay. It doesn't matter what you bring. It's what you leave behind. You can wear all the sandals you want spiritually. You can wear all the cowboy boots. You can wear the biker boots, Sandy, all you want. That's great. There's some nice ones over here on cowboy boots. That's great, right? Where are you walking and where are you going to go? As we close, I finish with these thoughts. Oftentimes, we just stomp our feet and we cry and we whine. And just, I'm telling you out of experience, so don't. If you take it personal, it's because it's personal for me. We just stomp our feet and we cry and whine how bad and how evil and how opposed to the gospel the world is. And it is. Sure. But here's the problem. We do that, but we never walk on their turf. We never interact or engage or get in the world to even tell them and to explain to them in any opportunity how to be at peace with God with our shoes of the gospel on. To enter into a saving relationship, we don't even do that. But we'll just keep complaining about, oh, it's so terrible in this world. If we have no dust on our feet, then we have no right to throw tantrums about how bad our world is getting. We have no right to cry about being rejected if we haven't even opened our mouth. Oh my goodness, for those that, or if we even that comes across our mind. See, too often, we have no smell on us. We have no stories. We have no dust from the roads that we've gone on that we're supposed to be on to tell others about Christ. Here's where it's at, and we're going to pray. Jesus had pure, dustless, smooth, perfect feet. And then He came to earth. He started to walk when He came to earth. He didn't just stay in the manger. He didn't stay in Mary and Joseph's, his mom and dad's house and hang out all day and get pedicures all day and whatever. No, He started to walk. And He walked, and He walked. He didn't have a place to call home, the Gospels record. He got dust on His feet. Do you have dust on your feet? Do I? This morning, let's evaluate our attitude about the job, the mission that we've been given to share this gospel of peace. Let's evaluate our shoes. Let's evaluate where our walk has taken us. And then, let's just get our feet dirty. Amen? Amen. I mean, I don't know. This might sound far-fetched. I am not the Holy Spirit, but maybe the Holy Spirit's prompting you. These shoes are up here as a prop, just so us visualize. Maybe you've got a pair of shoes spiritually that looks like something here, but you're not using them for the right reason. And maybe you do have the shoes of the gospel, but you're not sharing. Put your shoes on. Put them on. Maybe today, actually, you might need to come up and physically take the shoes you have on your feet off right now and put them at the altar. Symbolically to say, I'm giving you my feet, my shoes, Jesus. Let me put them back on, ready to go. Amen? Lord, thank you for your challenge. Thank you for your command. Thank you for your encouragement as well, that you don't leave us, that you authorize us to go. We don't go on our own strength or authority. We go in your authority. And if we have you, the God of all heaven and the universe behind us, there's no stopping us. No matter what obstacle comes our way, no matter what rejection comes our way, no matter what scorn and contempt and ridicule comes our way, Lord, help us to keep moving with the shoes of the gospel firmly on our feet as we go over all kinds of terrain. Help us, Lord, to stay on task. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Keep moving. Keep those shoes on. Amen.